on, keep on, keep striving for this religion that we preach. Keep on, keep on, keep pushing, for nothing's ever right or free.
And welcome to a belated edition of the Loose National Podcast. Strange enough, didn't feel like recording after seeing, well, obviously, the Man City game, never going to happen. The Brentford game, I saw it once. I have absolutely no desire to repeat it in any way, shape, or form. So the Wolves game, only memorable for the fact we actually got an injured player back, Elijah. So last chance saloon, well, obviously, you know, definite last chance saloon, but... on to the Everton game. It's a game we really need to win. A draw, there's still that possibility.
Yeah, so I said it to you before the game, the fact that we were playing Friday kind of made it known like what Forest needed the next day. And obviously they were playing Sheffield United, so it's a pretty comfortable game for them. So we really
Unless
needed to
play Sheffield United, of course, at home. But
that's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we really needed to beat Everton just to keep that pressure on for us to have to win. But yeah, I think you can tell from both of our attitudes that it's a little bit dejected in here today. You know, I think both of us are in the same boats that, you know, there's still two games to go. Anything can happen. And if there's anything we've learned from supporting Luton Town over the years is that anything will happen. But it's starting to look less and less likely.
It's possible, but I mean, obviously, the Everton game... We didn't help ourselves by giving away a completely needless penalty. I mean, Tendon Mengi's been excellent all season, but for some reason he turned into WWF wrestler. Bizarrely, for no reason.
It's WWE. We can't use WWF, the Pandal sewers.
I don't know the difference.
it was one of them ones where you look at it and go, that happens every week. What are you doing? That happens every week. How is that given? But at the same point, if it's given again, if that's your striker in the box and that happens to Eloy or Carlton, you're screaming for a fucking penalty.
I want to see the person who's going to manage to lift Eloy up off his feet and dump him down.
I know, right? But it's one of them ones where I can guarantee you watch the games over the weekend and you'll see one exactly like it. Exactly like it that won't be given. And I'm not saying it's not a penalty because it is a penalty. Like in the rules of the game, it's a penalty. It's just that it's one of them ones where you've seen them given, you've seen them not given. And that's the problem. There's no consistency.
I think there's a difference between some holding in the area and holding, lifting someone up and slam dunking him on the floor. And I think that's probably where he went a bit too far. We've just been holding and getting away with it.
It was Braithwaite. Braithwaite's no lightweight. Like he's what, 6'1", 6'2". Like he's a big guy himself, so don't give me that. You know, he could have easily stayed on his feet if he wanted to.
He was actually lifted up off the air, though. I mean, Mengi's got to be one strong player to do that.
Yeah, it's as you said, it was one of them games we needed to win and we just didn't. It was a weird game as well because I felt we dominated. I felt there was only one team that looked like ever winning it, and that was us. However, Kaminski stopped us from losing that game 2-3-1 with like some fantastic saves. And it's a weird, weird game where I really think we could have and we probably should have got more out of it. But at the same point, it's like, if not for Kaminski, we could have gotten nothing.
It wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, Kaminski has saved us many, many times. But obviously, just going back to, so obviously, there's the penalty, which Kaminski almost saved as well. It wasn't that far off.
Yeah, he got a boot to it, just not strong enough to keep it out. It's one of them ones, though, as well, where you think about, though, if he gets a foot to it, where does that ball land? There's going to be a melee in that box. Because the way it's shot and the way it hits his foot, if it does stay out, it's probably going straight back to Calvert-Lewin anyway.
Well, you don't know. I mean, you can't tell from there. But, I mean, I saw basically had his penalty map before, and I think he just dived that way. And he'd obviously done his homework. He had dived that way. Calvert-Lewin hits it straight by the middle, so gets a training boot. But yeah, it's a penalty. Sort of, you know, if you're not expected to save them. However, 6 minutes later, Elijah back in his first start is an absolutely superb goal. I mean, number one, it's the ex-scum player, the one who actually got remembered, I think Sky pointed out, because they said there's two, but only one was getting booed. And the other one said, oh, they've forgotten about him. But yeah, now he brought the ball down, put sort of, you know, Young absolutely on his ass, and a great finish.
And that's, let's face it, that's what we've been missing
for
what, a couple of months now?
Yeah.
You know, it's there's a lot of teams that have a right to turn around and say injuries have affected their seasons in the Premier League this year. I don't think anyone can say it affected their season to the point that it did at us. Like, if we hadn't lost the players we lost, I honestly, in my heart, believe we stay up.
Yeah. I mean, at one point, I think we had 13 players out. We had, sort of, you know, 4 year teams on the bench, 2 goalkeepers. And if I had Liverpool or Newcastle complaining about the injuries and how bad it's affected them, look what we put on the bench and think, oh, so you've got put your youth team is, oh, the youth team is you actually paid some 5 million quid for. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're paying 5 million quid for our record signing. You're paying 5 million quid for some 16-year-old or 17-year-old, you know, that it looks like he might have some sort of promise in him. As you said, there's a difference. There's a huge difference. And it's, unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. And, you know, it's not to get completely off topic, but it's refreshing to see, you know, last year us come up along with Burnley and Sheffield United, who obviously been in the Premier League before. This year, Ipswich go up alongside Leicester and whoever comes out of playoffs, which is more than likely going to be a Premier League team going back up again. But it's refreshing to see teams like ourselves and Ipswich getting back there and getting to the Premier League. We're, in our case, getting to the Premier League for the first time, you know, in the Premier League incarnation. And it's great to see Ipswich get there. But it was funny because I was reading, it got retweeted onto my timeline, and some Ipswich fan talking about players he'd like to buy, talking about getting Chio on a free because his contract's out. I'm like, look, if you're going to talk about a club, at least do your research first. You know, well, he's not out of contract.
I think there's one point, I think Hart's entire squad was out of contract because it didn't say anything. Don't worry, we do business, so.
Yeah, it's like the other one was Chong for 5 million. So you're telling me after a season in the Premier League, Chong is not worth any more than what he was when we bought him.
Well,
I'm not Chong's biggest fan, but even I think we can probably get a little bit more than what we bought.
He was outstanding Friday.
He was really, really good. He was really, really good. And where was he playing? At Wood. once again, I'm right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're gonna die on that hill, blah blah.
It is what it is. But yeah, and this Ipswich fan just had me laughing because it's like, oh, Ten and Mengi for like 10 million. I'm like, in what world are you living in? Like, Ten and Mengi, with the performances he's putting this year, it's going to be more than 10 million, dude, especially since when you look at some of the clubs that are after him from abroad and from England.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a lot more than 10 million as well, and I think 10 million was mentioned for that one, which is, I think someone else pointed out, that's AI, and I think you're right. Number one, you know, he's had a decent season. It's been being more than 10 million. Number two, you're Everton. You can't afford to spend a 10 on a player.
No, you can't afford anything right now. You're fucking screwed.
I just wish they're going to be screwed. Can they hurry up and get screwed the next week or so?
Probably not.
Nah.
But like, and that's the thing as well. Like, if you're an Everton fan, and obviously they were safe before the Luton game, but if you're an Everton fan, you're thinking, okay, we're safe before the last day of the season, which obviously this last season they went down to the last game of the season, or we're safe before the last game of the season. That's progress. Don't count your chickens before the hatch, because next year you're going to have teams come up to the Premier League who can actually like match up with you. Like, I'm not talking about the little old Lutons, as it's saying, coming up and breaking the record.
When you say match up, we played them 3 times, 1-2 and drawn 1.
Yeah, no, we dealt with them pretty well. You know, we did pretty good against them. But you look at the teams that are coming up, bar Ipswich, you know, Leicester coming up. They're going to have money, although they're probably going to start on a points deduction, but they're going to have money.
Minus 2 points, that's not going
to
be fair.
Yeah, they're going to have money to spend. And then, I mean, of the other four, each one of them teams is going to have money in some way, shape, or form to spend. Like, and I'm not talking about the, like, the money that Luton had to spend, like where we're staying within our budget, like those owners will put they will pull it first if they feel like it'll keep them in the league.
I don't think Norwich will if they go up.
Norwich maybe not, but I don't think Norwich are going to be able to playoffs.
West Brom, I don't know.
I think will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Southampton probably will.
Definitely will.
Yeah.
And Leeds, more than any of the other four teams, definitely will. You know, it's next year will be interesting. The only thing I'm pissed about.
But then actually just on those ones, you've got the absolute nuts situation where some Hull finished seventh, so they sacked their manager. Since when did they become Watford? Yeah.
And who's their manager? Their manager was Liam Rosenier, right? He'd done a fantastic job there. Like, he's going to be, like, that's not a good move for Hull. He's going to be picked up by someone.
I mean, like, I think he'd been backed by the board. So maybe the board was saying, right, well, we've got to get sort of, I don't know, if he got to the playoffs, or they've sacked him if he failed in the playoffs. It's just thinking, right, I just don't think it works. If a manager's doing a reasonable job, why change them and say, oh, let's roll the dice? Because a new manager's going to come in. They're going to want their own players. They're going to want their own playing style. They're not quite going to have that loyalty they're buying. And then again, you reset into a 2-year cycle almost, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like all of a sudden it becomes not a 2-year cycle. It becomes an 18-month cycle. Then it becomes a 12-month cycle. Then it becomes a 6-month cycle. And then you become Watford. So, you know.
I'm glad you finished like that, because if you didn't, I was going to. So you're learning.
So, yeah, like it's a bad road to go down. Like, I mean, there are times when you have to let a manager go. You know, there are times.
And that wasn't one of them.
That wasn't one of them. No, but I'm trying to think now to bring it back around to Luton. When was the last time you sacked the manager? It was the conference, wasn't it?
Technically
still.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Graham Jones is kind of.
Oh yeah, Jones. I forgot about him.
I don't think he wasn't sacked as such. Look at this way: if COVID hadn't interrupted the season, I think he'd have probably been allowed to finish the season.
And we'd been relegated.
Yeah. But we were showing signs of turning around, but maybe we're not quick enough onto that one. So I think COVID's giving that. So whether you got sacked or not, or that was kind of the basic said, right, here's a financial decision, because obviously wages, everything else. It's a tricky one on that. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll say him, though, because we don't want to put any negative connotations on John Steele's name.
No, who that was League Two, actually, but it was...
Yeah, League Two. After getting us out of the hated conference. Thank fuck.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was... That was a kind of... Maybe it was a regressful necessity, but I mean, obviously, you can see basically how well the regard John Steele is still held in.
Yeah, I mean, he's in at the club giving awards, and, you know, he looks like he's still around the club in some way, shape or form. Obviously not in a role of the club, but still enjoys going in there and talking to the players and seeing the players, you know, one of which he's brought all the way from conference, you know, in Pelly Ruddock. But the thing that caught my eye as I was browsing Twitter, Pelly Ruddock and Panzu's dedication to the club, or whatever you want to call it, award. Do you think that's a thanks for everything, see you later?
I've not even seen that.
Have you not? It's no. from the players awards or player trust awards or something that's going on. I don't even know if it's tonight. I just seen it on my timeline, but it's a picture of Pelly Ruddock and Panzu, and he's got a frame of his shirt, and I don't know if it's signed or not by all the other players. I couldn't tell you, but it's a picture of his shirt, and he's basically got an award for basically tenure. Dedication to the cause, or dedication to the job, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so is it tenure or tenure?
Tenure. It's whatever you want to call it.
Well, no.
Potato.
No, tenure is length of time. 10 year is the amount of time.
Tenure. T-E-N-U-R-E. Tenure.
All right, okay. So I think it's more today. It's 10 years. So it's his testimonial season. If they still did testimonials, which you probably don't need as players now.
Nah, you definitely don't. You should have enough money by now. But yeah, to me, it's from the Luton Town Supporters Trust. So maybe reading a little bit too much into it. But
I'd say it's just recognising that the 10 10 year.
Maybe. We'll see. It just caught my attention. It was just something that, you know...
English to Gav translation needed.
English to American.
English to Irish, American to whatever, yeah.
It caught my attention because, obviously, he hasn't played a lot in the last... this season.
Obviously, the script is set for us to get a point at West Ham when Nottingham Forest get nothing. Then Burnley to go and beat Forest. We beat Fulham with a screamer in the last minute from Paddy Ruddock. If Hollywood could write any scripts, that would be that, wouldn't it?
Nick, if that happens, I'll buy you 2 cases of beer.
I'm not making bets on that.
The thing that just annoys me now as well is the game on Friday was before the Forest game, so Forest knew what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
The game on the weekend is before the Forest game, so Forest know what they need. And it could come, like, the thing realistically right now, as you said, you're looking at 4 points because realistically we're 4 points behind them with the goal difference. There'd have to be a massive swing, you know? I see their deduction got turned down or their appeal or whatever the fuck it was.
Had we won on Friday, that wouldn't have happened.
I don't know. I think it would have. I think, and it's simply because of all the noises that's been coming out of that club in the last couple of weeks, I think it's a case of fuck you to Forest. Not that it really matters.
Incessant crime.
You know, not that it matters. It probably won't matter now. Realistically, they need 1 point from their last 2 games, and they're safe.
I'd say they probably need 3.
Forest?
Yeah.
I don't. Because they're 3 points ahead of us right now.
They're 3 points ahead of us, and how many points ahead of Burnley?
More than us, because Burnley are behind us.
Yeah. But if Burnley were to win at Spurs, then Burnley could overtake them with a win.
Oh, we're getting into big territory now. Burnley beat Spurs.
Spurs can be Spursy.
They need a point. Because right now Burnley's on 24. So realistically, even with 2 wins, they can only get to 30.
Okay,
And then Forest are on 29, so realistically all they can get to 30, and their goal difference over both us and Burnley is far superior.
Burnley got 2 wins, though.
They're like, it's minus 18 for Forest, minus 35 for Burnley. They'd want to get 2 very big wins, Burnley would.
Do you know they're playing last game?
Forest?
Yes.
But they're playing Tottenham first. So you're talking... hypothetically, we're talking what? 2-0 win? 2-0 win? Say 2-0. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We say somehow they pull off a 2-0 win against Spurs. Forest lose to Chelsea. 2-0. By the same scoreline. Puts Forest at minus 20. Puts Burnley at minus 33.
Okay.
Which means you would need a seven-goal swing. You would need Burnley to beat Forest by 7 goals in the last game.
How many points would Forest be on, though, after that? With a game left.
Oh, no. If they lose to Chelsea, then Burnley can still catch them. That's why I'm saying all they need is a point.
Mm.
So, okay, we take into account the Forest, and we're getting, again, hypothetical situations. Take into account the Forest, get their point against Chelsea. Okay? Which puts them on 30 points. Burnley beat Tottenham 2-0. That would mean Forest would still be on minus 18. Burnley would be on minus 33, which would mean they'd need an 8-goal swing against Forest. They'd beat Forest by more than eight goals, or actually more than 8 goals, because if it's 8 goals, it's tied, and then it gets into fucking head-to-heads and shit, and we don't want to do that on the show.
I think essentially what we want is sort of, if we can pick up at least a point, we want Burnley winning on Saturday.
We want not necessarily Burnley winning. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, because then there's more to play for in the last game of the season for Burnley.
Yeah.
Because
if Forest lose, then Burnley then think they can stay up if they beat them, which means that if we win, we can finish above both. Other than that, you might have some, you know, Burnley on the beat, but it could work the other way around as well. But
if we ideally, you'd want a win on Saturday, which I don't see us getting at West Ham, but ideally, you'd want a win.
Well, actually, West Ham, that's not what I'm going to mention. It's, I mean, they're A, on the beach, they got stuffed. But secondly, it's Moyes' last home game. And that's another thing. Just going back on managers, so we're going off on a tangent because it's
nothing better to talk about.
West Ham seem to want Moyes out. They think you're right. So they're saying, oh, we need a new manager to bring us forward. I'm looking right. Moyes, last season, he won them a European trophy. When was the previous time they won a trophy?
Yep.
So they have a manager who's actually won them a European trophy and they want him out. What does this club think they are? What are they actually aiming for?
They think they're a top six club and they're not.
No, because there's about 10 clubs in their top six. So I think, to me, if you've got a manager who's actually got your European trophy, you don't say, oh, we need to develop further. You probably stick with that manager and see what he can. He's got you more trophies than you've had in the last 20 years.
I'm with you. No, it honestly, like, I'll be totally honest with you. Maybe it's just my other focus on Luton and just the teams that are around us, and West Ham kind of haven't been there. But I didn't even know West Ham wanted Moyes out until I watched an episode of the Overlap where it was talked about with the West Ham fan that was there, that, you know, be careful what you wish for, you know, you want the Moyes out. And it seemed to come down to, oh, we don't like the style of play. But your style of play is effective. Your style of play got you, one, into Europe, and two, a European trophy.
Yeah, and this isn't the 1970s where the West Ham, the free-flowing football, it doesn't quite work like that. Because you've got a free-flowing style of football, you can pretty much guarantee someone else is going to buy better free-flowing players.
Yeah, and that's the thing with West Ham. Like, you want to play free-flowing football, and you bring in players that play free-flowing football. Like, realistically, what teams are you then going to beat? You're probably going to beat the bottom six, you know? Other than that, like...
If they try and play your game, yeah.
Right, and then the middle six, it's kind of... give or take whether you win or not. And then the top six, if you play free-flowing football against the top six, I think the top six have proven that they will fucking teach you a lesson.
Now, where's the missing two fit in here?
Well, you're one, and then I'm taking into account the six or seven. Because you look at the top of the table right now, Arsenal, City going for the title, Liverpool, gone. And then Villa in there. You got Villa 4, Tottenham 5th, Newcastle 6, Chelsea 7, United 8. It's not a top six anymore. Like, Villa are spending money to try break that top four, and it's kind of working right now. And then you got Tottenham in fifth. Ange's done. I was one of the people that did not think that was going to work, but Ange's done a great job at Tottenham, you know, all things considered. And then right now you have the sixth place. You've got realistically three teams playing for sixth place in Newcastle, Chelsea, and United. So it's not really a top six anymore. So West Ham are right outside that, you know. Technically, they can they? No, they can't. They can't make top six. Never mind. But they're right outside that top six. And if I'm being totally honest, I think that's overachieving for West Ham.
Yeah,
I think they're a mid-table team. So maybe eight. Yeah, maybe 8 to 12 is where they should be.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it.
The top six, flirt with the relegation, flirt this of getting, like Bryce mentioned, flirt with severe European place, but it's.
What happens if they bring in a manager, he tries playing free-flowing football, and his first six games of the season next year against Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Villa, Tottenham, and Chelsea, and he loses all six?
Well, you're not going to lose Liverpool and Chelsea, surely.
Well, you never know. But, like, it all comes down to fixtures, too, you know? You lose those first six games, you're on 0 points. Are you then calling for Moyes to come back and play the unattractive style of football that he was playing?
No, you probably just call for another manager instead of say, oh, we should have spent 100 million quid on players, which is going to be unsustainable. Actually, you just mentioned some, you know, fans' expectations, just more an amusement. There's a Tottenham fan at work. They're playing Man City. Now, obviously, if they beat Man City, they've got a better chance of making a European place. He said he would rather lose to Man City and lose out in a European place than actually beat them and hand Arsenal the title.
Absolutely. And you really, like, the thing is, like, I admire where that guy is coming from, because realistically, even if they beat City, City still go on to win the league. Because Arsenal, as bad as United are playing, United have shown they turn up in big games like the Liverpool game, you know, they could easily take points off Arsenal, and City could still easily end up winning the league. But you know there's a better chance of City winning the league if they beat you. I admire that guy. That guy, yes, definitely.
I mean, I just thought, because I mean, for me, out of those top three, my preference would be Arsenal to win it because they're not Liverpool, and Man City just absolutely go year after year after year and savour money. But I mean, ultimately, I don't actually give a shit. It's not Liverpool, so that helps as well. But yes. But I just thought, okay, the hatred you must have. And I thought, okay,
yeah.
And don't laugh. I'm sorry, you can't say this without laughing. If we're in that situation, like we're going for European place and the scum could actually go for the title.
Lose the game.
Saying, yeah, you fucking throw the game. Make sure they don't get it.
Yeah, lose the game. Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, that's easy to say because that's never, ever, ever going to be the situation.
No. But yeah, the guys got it right. Absolutely. You lose the game. You hand the title to City. All barring City, a massive City collapse. But yeah, absolutely you do that. You do not want your biggest... And here's the thing, like, I'm not a supporter of either of those two teams, Arsenal or City. But if you ask me who I want to win this league, it's City. For a number of reasons. One, it'll be four in a row, something that Manchester United never did, which means I can now slag my brother, you know, family. That City have done something that you never did, you know. And the second thing is, City, although they've won everything in the last decade, probably a little bit more, they've won everything. There are a pocket of fans that are new to the club or whatever, are a little bit cocky. There's a pocket in the grand scheme of things. There's a pocket of fans who are new or have come within the last decade or a little bit more than a decade, and are cocky, you know. But the fan base that's been there for 30, 40, 50 years are well aware of, yeah, we bought our titles, but like every other team's bought their titles. United bought their titles. Liverpool bought their titles in the 80s.
30, 40, 50 years, they're not the ones at games. And that's another thing that's wrong with modern football.
Yes, yeah, but I'm talking in general of fan bases. That City fan base.
I'm talking about the people going to games here as well. Because I mean,
it's not that bad.
Stu went up to Man City and said, I've never heard of some fans so quiet. I mean, Fulham, I think, were bloody quiet at home. But that's the problem you get with the Premier League. You're getting consumers. You're not getting fans in there. No. And for that reason, and we're going to go completely over the place here, top six Euro Super League. I'm thinking, now against the Spurs, yes, please, fuck off. Join the Super League. Leave the Premier League. Don't come back. Fine. Let's get on with this.
And that's where my point was going where Arsenal is. Arsenal's fan base, a large portion of their fan base, is just cocky. They're just cocky. I mean, they've no reason to be cocky. City have won everything. You know where they're cocky. Arsenal, what have you done in the last 10 years? Nothing. Like, really, realistically, nothing. You've done nothing. An FA Cup here and there. Like, you've done nothing of major substance. But yet their fans are just so cocky about everything. And it's just like, even their manager, even Arteta gets on my nerves, if I'm being totally honest. You know, like, yeah, I want City to win the league. More, like, as I said, I don't have a horse in the race, but if I was to bet on a horse and want a horse to win, it'd be City, definitely. You know?
I'll be saying with horse I want to lose more.
For me, it's Arsenal. I want Arsenal to lose more. It's I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, like... Again, it comes back to their fans like just being unbearable, and like they're unbearable now. So imagine what it'd be like if they won a Premier League title.
I didn't think it'd been that bad, unless you're Kimmich. And by the way, welcome to Luton Town International. We're going to talk about anything apart from possible relegation, even if it means fucking discussing the top three, which is a first for us, I think.
Well, look, we haven't done the podcast in nearly a month, I think it's been, because we only record every 2 weeks, so 1 week was straight away off the calendar, which was after the Man City game. We lost to Brentford, and I think your exact words were, I'm not fucking recording.
Yeah.
We then had our regular week off. And then we had birthdays. So we're not recording on birthdays. Fuck that shit. So this is the first time in a month. And we've literally nothing to talk about. So why not talk about everything else?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think we mentioned 10 and maybe a link there. I mean, it seems to be the media now trying to link Survivor down, which we're not yet. And might not be. There's a possibility. they're trying to link every single player, say, oh, he'll be in the Premier League, he'll be in the Premier League, he'll be in the Premier League. I'm having a look at that and I'm thinking, you know, even if that happens, I mean, without going specific players, which will probably get mentioned, you know, we will get some decent money for our players. And I think we've actually got some semi-replacements in the building as well.
Yeah.
So one of the
We could have talked about this in text messages where I said the only one I was worried about losing was Kaminsky. And as you rightfully pointed out, we got promoted without Kaminsky, so...
I think he stays, Kaminsky, anyway.
I really hope he does. He's, like... He's my player of the year. And I know there's other players that'll get all the plaudits, but the amount of times he's kept us in games, and one of the things we've talked about a number of times, and one of the things that has been talked about on mainstream media is that, you know, we fight. There hasn't been a lot of games, Brentford excluded, City excluded, that we look out of it going into the last 10 minutes. So it looks like
we were in the City game until about 20 minutes to go, which considering the amount of injuries we had against City, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, but it like realistically, one of the reasons we were still in a lot of them games was Kaminsky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think he's been absolutely fantastic this year, and that's why to me he's my player of the year. You know, and I would love to hold on to him because we talked about players that could leave, and we'll go through the list. So Osho, I think everyone assumes will leave. I'm not 100% convinced he does, but a lot of people think he leaves.
I think obviously we don't know contract situations, but Osho,
because the club never fucking release it.
Well, yeah, but that's fine. It is what it is.
We are the masters of undisclosed.
Well, it's going to be a whole load of undisclosed stuff in the summer, probably in and out. It's but yeah, Osho, you assume he's out of contracts because it's didn't sign new contracts, everything else from now on. Therefore, the fact he's been linked with so many clubs, you'd assume his agent is touting him around, so you'd assume he'd be going for more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if that happens, you brought in Tom Holmes, who presumably he's been seen as a good replacement. I mean, Osho we got from Reading, and it's... So, they can produce some decent centre-backs, and Osho I didn't rate for until last April the 1st.
Until last April the 1st, Osho was he won't be there next year.
Until last night, the first, I thought it was a bit of reliability, but then he elevated himself to Luton legend in one game.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But then you have, like, here's the thing. Like, you talk about Osho going, Mengi possibly, since he's been our best player, why not?
That's going. Big money if he goes.
Big money if he goes, so that obviously helps the club. But, which then leaves you Bell, Burke, Potts if he stays. I don't mind Potts staying. He's shown that he can hold his own in the championship. But then you've also got Holmes and Anderson.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're completely light in that position. We probably want to bring in one or two, but we're not completely light. Doughty, I think, is another one, although he's struggled in the last month or so, more than likely moves on.
But again, money.
But again, you've got Joe Johnson, who can play there.
Yeah.
I don't know what the situation with Giles is, whether he comes
back. I was thinking that Giles is that's a complete.
I don't think he does, but.
I don't know, but it's.
Yeah. And then obviously Bell can play out there as well. So that's another thing there. You got Hashioka and Fred over the other side, which I think is fine for the championship.
I think Fred will go.
Think Fred will go? See, then. Okay, so here's the thing. Fred goes, you've still got Chio and Hashioka on the right hand side. So either way, you're kind of fine on the right as well.
And Hashioka, I think he's not had the best start to his career, but he's been thrown in at the deep end to a large extent. I think get a pre-season under him, we'll see.
I am going on record as saying right now, I won't say he'll be our player of the year next year. What I will say is he'll be in the top three. I think like you're asking a player to come over without a pre-season, without anything, having to learn the language. You know, having the new teammates, understanding their little intricacies, you know. I agree with you. I think a full preseason behind them, learning the language more, getting to know his teammates more, because we're not a team that really, like, does a complete overhaul. I think he's going to be a fantastic player for us. And I know right now he's the scapegoat for everyone. on social media.
He does have a habit of actually making the odd error and scoring some own goals. But again, I think it's probably just been unlucky, and it's kind of
I mean,
I was glad to see him out of the team, to be fair, on Friday. But that's
like he'll be a player. Our scouting very rarely gets it wrong. He'll be a player. And I think next time we're back in the Premier League, I think you'll see a much better Hashioko.
Yeah. Well, could be next season. And then
it could be next season. We're still holding the hope. God bless us. You look at the midfield, and I mean, Pelly showing he can hang in the Championship. Clark as well. You know, Chong definitely.
Obviously goes back to
Congo goes back, but Nakamba more than likely back. You know, and Nakamba's one player that I think if he hadn't played the whole year, I think he'd be off somewhere. But having not played much at all, I think we'll stay.
I don't think he'd been off anywhere. I think he would have been a stay.
You know, and then, I mean, the one area you could have a complete overhaul in, I know you think Morris stays, but is up front if Eli and Morris both go. But then again, you look at what Joe Taylor's doing. You look at what McAtee's doing at Barnsley. Like, I'm not saying they can go straight into play, but you've got those two. You've got a experienced Championship level striker in Woodrow. Again, it's not like we're light. The club have done a really, really good job.
Sorry to play that position, especially if both went. But I think one might go. But
yeah, but the club have done a really good job of strengthening the team. Obviously, injuries when they hit and the numbers that they did, there's just nothing you can do about it. And I assume they will go and strengthen again in the summer, you know, and maybe when we're back in the Premier League, we'll be a little bit deeper, you know, like the squad this time around, once the injuries took hold, you could see it was paper thin.
But there were 13 injuries.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Once the injuries took hold, it was paper thin.
I think any team is going to be paper thin with 13 injuries.
Not Man City. But then again, they've got a fucking new team of Champions League winners.
Well, yeah, I mean, Man City's example, they loan us Kabore, and Kabore is never, ever, ever going to make their 25-man squad.
No. And let's talk about that. That's an interesting one. I think he could probably get a better deal somewhere else. But Kabore back at Luton next season? I'm not talking on loan. I'm talking like permanent.
What? So, you know, it's a kind of James Bree type situation. Here's a free transfer with a sell-on clause.
Yeah. City are known to do it.
It's potential. Possible.
You know, like, and you would think him in the Championship?
He'd be good attacking, yep. So, I mean, I think defensively I've had my...
You definitely wouldn't want to play him in a back three.
It's ironically, he did okay when he's paid the
back. He did okay, but you don't want to push your luck.
No.
You know, it's one of them things where he did okay, but we're not doing that again.
But I mean, he could bump forward. It's like drama did, so, you know, when Simon Lowe, like Bree could do as well before he went to Southampton. So we can do that. We can do that at players, but
I think our weakest area where we probably, as I said, we need to bring in probably a defender or two, maybe even three. Midfield is going to be an area that I'll be interested to see what the club do. That'll be the one area I'm looking at this off season and going, how are you gonna make that better? How are you going to balance that out?
It kind of all depends on basically, so, you know, what league we're in and what players retain. Because I mean, before I thought Luke Berry's almost certainly, so, you know, gone at the end of the season. But he's been playing a lot more and been coming on there. So I might say, you know, if especially in the Championship, worth another year, especially considering some of the clubs supposed to be interested in him. It's worth giving another year just to keep him from actually falling into the scum of Hive and Villainy.
I mean, I would have no, like what I said about Potts, I would have no problem with Barry getting a one-year extension. And, you know, he's proven that he can play in the, he's a decent Championship midfielder. But you definitely
need... And fine with that overhead kick as well, which, again, how do they keep that out? Same as Brandon.
I want to see them get another defensive midfielder. Maybe even two. just to like someone who can play that position but can also maybe play center half or center mid if need be. Someone who can remember Osha when he first came in, where it's like we think he's a defender but he can play defensive midfield if need to. Like just someone
he can,
someone
he
like can that where you can kind of move him around. Yeah. And then a young player. Like I don't want to see Luton. Like we had a habit there for a while of going out and getting these journeymen, Cameron Jerome, Ryan Tunnicliffe, you know, players like that who, I'm not saying they're past it because they weren't. Jerome did okay for us. Tunnicliffe did okay for us as well. But it was, they've reached their peak and they're over there. They've reached the peak and they're coming down to your side. I want to see the club this year go and either get players in the peak or go and get players who are coming into their peak.
Well, you mean you'd say the player who was almost signed with that in mind, but it's probably not now, would be Louis Watson. But he's still young.
Yeah, but how many years has it been now? How many chances do you give someone?
Well, he's played like 8 games since then. I think he's only about 21 or 22.
Here's the thing. When I seen him play, I thought he was extremely good. But there's something there, Nick, because he's never been able to break into the team. On a permanent basis.
Well, mainly he's been on loan all season.
And he's been injured. That's been another problem.
But again, we'll see in the summer. I mean, I've not really seen enough of him to be sort of to make a judgment. I know he's been left out by some people. I think maybe sort of, you know, he's been playing more at Charlton since Nathan Jones, the plan who's signed for us, has been there. I don't know.
I don't think he's at Charlton, is he? I think he's at Shrewsbury, wasn't he? Or did he go to Charlton afterwards?
I don't know.
This season has been stressful enough following the first team without following all the players that were out on loan.
Fairly sure he's at... I'm going to have to look this up now.
Oh, you are, yeah. Wikipedia, real quick.
Yeah, this is how we do our research. We just do it...
Wikipedia. Wikipedia in the middle of the show.
Yeah, Charlton.
Charlton?
Yeah, played 21 matches, no goals, 2 assists, 3 yellow cards.
2 assists. I suppose if he's playing a defensive role, that's not bad. It's not horrible.
And I think the previous manager left him out quite a lot as well.
I know he went to, was it Shrewsbury or someone at the beginning of the season?
No, you're thinking of...
I'm thinking of the other one, Torp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another player who's... It just come in and just no fucking use whatsoever. Like, just injuries, you know, different shit going on.
And if you're watching this, apologies. We will remember your name at some point.
I'm sure we will. But before we go, I do want to ask, where do you think the... Okay, so we take into account we go down. Where do you think it went wrong this year?
If we go down, what do you think went wrong? It went wrong with the injuries. I think you've got three significant ones. One very significant and one of the other two most significant as well. The significant one, I think, a lot is Elijah because he was in red hot form, scoring the goals. That's not a problem. And the other one was the two defensive midfielders. Mm-hmm. One or both have been fit all season. That would be a major difference. I mean, obviously, the other one you say is right. The loss of Tommy Lockyer kind of inspired us for a bit, but you miss his leadership at the back and letting some silly goals that you probably don't do if he's there shouting at people.
I agree with everything you just said, and I'm just going to throw in one more thing. We picked up 14 points from a possible 36 against the 6 other teams, is saying the bottom 7. So in the bottom 7, those 6 other teams, we picked up 14 points from a possible 36. I think that was a downfall for us. We showed enough spirit and fight in every single game, and especially against the bigger teams. We showed more than enough, like the Newcastle game, the Liverpool game. You know, we showed more than enough fight and spirit. Losing, not picking up points against those 6 teams around us.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's going to be the games you point at. These, you know, Sheffield United, our second worst home performance of the season. It was our worst up until a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Another game we should have won that one, or should have got something from. Burnley. Yep, it's early in the season, but again, we switched off the crucial point. Bournemouth away, 3-0 up.
Bournemouth wasn't one of the teams, actually, that I picked.
No.
But now that you talk about it, I totally know where you're coming from. So, the six teams I picked were Palace, Brentford, Everton, Forest, Burnley, Sheffield United. Picked Palace 4 points. 4 points from Palace, I think, was decent. Brentford, zero. That was a problem. And Brentford have always, I don't know why, but they've come across to me as somewhat of a bogey team for us.
They do, but they did. But then again, I remember actually winning titles playing against them as well.
Right. Yeah. Everton, 4 points. Again, we did well against Everton. But then the last three for me is Forest, 2 points, Burnley, 1 point, Sheffield United, 3 points. I think you need to pick up another another 6 points from those games.
Forest, the 2 points isn't a major issue because they only got 2 points from us. I think the fact it's, you know, Burnley and Sheffield United have both picked up over 2 points off us, that's an issue.
I think Forest, the fact that they picked up 2 points off us is a problem. I think we could have condemned them. Like, if you think, if we take 4 points from every single one of those games, that's 24 points from 36. That puts us 10 points above our situation where we're at right now. I'm just interested now. We're at 26 points. Where would that put us in the league table? It would put us on 36 points ahead of Forest and equal with Brentford. I'll be honest with you. If we were on 36 points, we'd be safe. Actually, we would be mathematically safe because Forest on 29 wouldn't be able to catch us.
But if Forest had another points deduction as well, they'd be on 33 if you'd said that.
Okay, so they don't, let's say they don't get a points deduction. You're still coming down to one place. Mm-hmm. But we'd be ahead. We'd be the ones calling the shots. Right now, it feels like Forest are the ones calling the shots.
But there have been so many others that have near miss points as well. That's, you know, maybe one, not the ones you'd expect onto it. Man United could easily have had something, especially at home. Arsenal home.
That's what I mean. Like, against the top six teams, we played, like, against the top eight teams, 10 teams, we played well enough. I remember being extremely disappointed in the fact that we didn't pick up anything from Chelsea. And I know, look, and they're like seventh in the table. But I was extremely disappointed we didn't take anything from Chelsea in either game. Like, we could have really taken something from that game as well. Like, against those bigger teams, it wasn't a problem. It was the other games. Like, those... When I looked at that this morning, I just went, well, I started with Palace, and I had 4 points, and Everton, 4 points. I'm like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then the Brentford, Burnley, I'm just like, oh, that's hard reading.
Yeah. It's the home games against a couple of the, you know, the two others in the bottom three. That's the issue.
So I think the big question now is, are we recording a podcast after the last day of the season? Are we recording a podcast the Tuesday after the season ends?
Depends on
the outcome.
If we stay up, if not, then welcome to the European Championship podcast.
So if we stay up, we'll have one more podcast.
I'm joined by Gav, who doesn't.
Oh, I'll have teams there. Every team that's playing England.
Yeah.
But so either this is the second last podcast of the season, depending on the result against Fulham on the last day and whether we stay up, or this is the last podcast of the season.
But you might get one in close season if you're really bloody lucky.
If you're really lucky, depending on what the hell's going on. I don't know what I'm going to do on my Tuesdays, Nick. I've gotten too used to being able to talk to you every second Tuesday. I might just have to call you just to bug you.
Oh, fair enough.
I think that's it, Nick.
Okay. I shall see you next time, whenever that is. Okay.